The world narrows Jin and me in the memory of that day. I watched it play out, but not once. You told him it was a quiet day. You said there weren't many foreigners in Dustwalk. Misleading truths, but still truths. You tricked him, just like you did with the caravan. Just like you did when you told me I could call you Oman. I thought about how easily Jin had trusted my word, of how easily he'd given up on finding the weapon in Fahali when I'd said, "Jin are powerful, deceitful things." "So what's your excuse?" I lashed out, but Jin didn't even flinch. "I can keep going if you want." "Jin?" Ahmed's warning sounded far off. "The sand and the sun don't drain you the way they do us mere mortals. You belong to them." I remembered one of our last nights in the desert. "You're unnatural," he'd said to me. "You pick up languages like that." He snapped his fingers, and I realized he'd spoken the last two words in Sichuan. All the nights in the desert when he'd fed me stories of far-off places and scraps of their language, testing me. "Stop it!" I could barely speak the words. What was it Shahzad had said about the Demji? That they, we, were useful. Was that why Jin had saved me in the first place? Dragged me across the desert, not as an ally, not because we needed each other to stay alive, but because he knew his brother could use me? I stepped closer, the circle around him parting for me nervously, until I was close enough that I could have kissed him again. That kiss was a trick, too. Mine. I was a creature of deceit, but I wasn't the liar here. "Why should I believe anything you say?"
"Go on, then."
His mouth twitched up.
"Prove me wrong. Tell me a lie. Tell me your name is Oman, straight out this time. Tell me you're a boy named Ali Dad. Tell me you are not a Demji."
"Why should I?" I could feel my tongue fighting against the words he dared me to say.
"Because you can't."
Victory was marked all over him as he watched me struggle. My hand lashed out, his face cracked sideways, and my palms stung. And before anyone could say anything more to me, I ran.
"So, are you planning on stealing all our guns, or do you think maybe you only need one per hand?"
I whirled around. Ahmed was watching me from the mouth of the small cave in the canyon wall. I could just make him out. I'd decided to leave. I decided that before my hand had even stopped stinging from hitting Jin, but I wasn't going unarmed. I wedged the fourth pistol between the shima I tied around my middle like a sash, since I didn't have a belt, and my hip bone. "Maybe your armory ought to be better guarded if you don't want folks helping themselves."
"Not a consideration we've really needed to have before you," Ahmed said.
"Well, you ought to think of that next time your brother brings ignorant strays home." I pushed by him and started walking. Ahmed followed me. "Am I a prisoner?" I turned to face him when we'd walked a few steps.
"No."
Ahmed clasped his hands behind his back.
"Though Jin did say we'd better send someone after you so that when you collapsed from sheer stubborn exhaustion, we could bring you back before you died."
He has so much faith in me.
I didn't try to keep the bitterness from my voice as I fiddled with the pistol at my waist. "He does," Ahmed said. "He thought you'd have made it much farther than this by now, for one thing."
I flicked the hammer of the pistol restlessly. He wasn't wrong. I was exhausted,
and wounded and hungry, and miles from anywhere else I could go, even farther from anywhere I wanted to be. But before Jin woke up, before the word Demji spun out of Hala's mouth and landed on me, I wanted to stay. Why? My voice cracked a little and I cleared my throat.
Well, Ahmed said, from what I understand, you walked a long way here. Jin figured you'd at least make it past the point of no return.
I caught myself before I laughed. I could almost pretend he was just another boy from the last county, except with a better accent. Why didn't he tell me?
You would have to ask Jin for his own reasons for not telling you. But if you want honesty from me...
Ahmed sighed. He looked older than 18.
The Demji are an asset, Amani. Don't get me wrong. Every man and woman in this rebellion is. But Emin is the best spy I have, and Hala has saved more people than maybe even Shahzad has. My sister is the reason I didn't die at the end of the Sultim trials. The twins can take animal form and can cover distances in a matter of days that would take a normal man weeks. In a war, you take what best serves your cause.
I wished it were Jin trying to convince me. He'd be so much easier to argue with. But Ahmed's logic couldn't be bickered against so easily. And that just left me as the problem. I can't... I faltered on the words. I can't do what your other Demji can. I reckon I would have noticed by now if my face changed, or I could make illusions walk through air. I thought I might stay and... do what Shahzad does. Though now I said it out loud, it seemed stupid, too. Shahzad might be wholly human, but I'd seen her kill a skinwalker without breaking a sweat. Without a gun, I was just a girl, not a Demji. I didn't figure I'd stay to make bugs crawl out of people's skin or turn myself into another person.
If you choose to go, you can, Ahmed said. It's dangerous in Miraji for a Demji. But you seem to have handled yourself just fine so far.
I thought of the girl the Galen general had shot through the head in Fahali. She had been like me. I remember Jin warning me to be careful, warning me against his Mon.
But if you decide to stay, there are a half dozen other Demji who could help you figure out what your power is. Whatever it is that you can do that can help this rebellion. If you still want to.
If I wanted to. If I wanted to be part of this story, this riddle. Truth be told, it was more than a want.
Chapter 21. There were three pomegranates hanging from the branch, and then there were two, and then four. I glanced over at Delilah, who smiled sweetly.
See? It's not that hard.
It had been a week since Jin woke up, and Ahmed promised they could help me unearth my powers. A week of meditating with Bahi, and of Delilah instructing me that the way she cast illusions was that she just did. Somehow, she thought a demonstration would help.
This is useless.
It didn't help.
We don't even know that my gift is with illusions.
It is the most common Denji gift,
Bahi offered philosophically from the sidelines.
Just try, Delilah said.
Yes, Hala put in, looking on. Make one disappear and you'll be on par with the street performers in Isman.
I stared at the tree. I wasn't sure what I was reaching for. Hala said it came from her mind. Delilah seemed to think she pulled her power out of her chest. I couldn't find anything in either one. The wicker of horses nearby unraveled whatever attention I'd had. I glanced over my shoulder. It was the party Ahmed had sent out 3 days before, a raid on a mountain outpost to bring back more guns. I'd asked to go with them. I knew guns. Ahmed had said no, that it wasn't worth it sending out a Demji before she had her powers in check, just like he had the time before that. I was starting to wonder what the point of staying was if I wasn't any use at all. As I watched their saddlebags, clinking heavy with guns, the frustration that had been rising in me whipped itself into a frenzy. I couldn't manage to change my shape or my face, or climb into anyone's head, or conjure images out of the air. Folks in camp had started taking bets on how long it would take me to figure out my powers. Or maybe I didn't have any, the whispers had started to suggest. As I stared, one of the three pomegranates burst open, spilling angry black ooze. I knew it was Hala's work. My gun sprang into my hand on instinct. I aimed with easy certainty and pulled the trigger. The pomegranate exploded in a violent burst of seeds and red juices, Hala's illusion disappearing with it. There, I said, holstering the gun. Now there are two. A laugh made me turn my head. I realized Jin had been watching. He was passing by us, carrying a stack of firewood toward the center of camp on one shoulder. He'd recovered quickly from the nightmare bite. I'd seen him training at hand-to-hand combat with Shahzad yesterday. She still beat him, badly, but he held his own for a while. Fresh humiliation burned my neck as Jin saluted me, and I turned away. We'd been doing a dance all week, where Jin pretended nothing was wrong between us, and I pretended he didn't exist. Like he thought it didn't matter that he'd tricked me to get me here, that he'd pulled me off that train to keep me from going to Isman, not to keep me safe. That he'd convinced me the best way to get there was the caravan, preying on my ignorance about my own country. That I'd gone along with it because I was stupid enough to think we were really a team. I brushed the thought off. It was petty of me to hate him. This was a war. He'd done what he needed to do. Even if I turned out not to be all that helpful. Do you know that you cast illusions while you sleep? I asked Delilah. It came out sharper than I meant it to. I'm not going to become some all-powerful Demji overnight just by focusing. We should take a break in any case. Bahi interjected before Delilah could reply. It's only a few hours until dark, and tonight is Shehabian. Hala glanced at the sky. The sun was getting low. Something that wasn't a sneer flickered over her face for once. Delilah saw it too. She dropped a hand on Hala's shoulder. Emin is on her way back, Delilah said. My mind fell back to my first day in camp when Emin had been sent out shaped like a Galen soldier. She was meant to be back by Shehabian. How do you know that? I asked Delilah. The more time I spent in camp, the more worried I'd gotten about the Galen and Fahali. The oasis was like nowhere I'd ever been, and if everyone here from all over Miraji was to be believed, it was like nowhere else that existed. All it would take to destroy it would be the Galen and their weapon. Delilah looked faintly embarrassed. It's something I picked up when I was little. When my brothers started taking work on ships and sailing away, leaving me behind, I never knew when they were coming back. So every morning I opened my mouth to make sure I could say that they were still alive, they were safe, they were coming home. Then I'd try to say that today would be the day that they'd dock, and if I couldn't say it, then it wasn't the truth and it wouldn't happen.
Emin is on her way back.
She said it with the confidence of a prophecy.
We couldn't speak anything if it wasn't the truth. What if it could work the other way?
I'd done it once before, I realized, with the Galen soldier. Told him that he wouldn't find us in the canyon, and he hadn't. But the skinwalker had.
What would happen if I just declared that tomorrow my powers will show up? Or if I said...
Delilah's eyes went wide, and Bahi's hand was over my mouth, whip quick. The one with the tattoo on it. It smelled of oils and smoke, like the inside of a prayer house. For once, he looked serious.
Demji shouldn't make truths of things that aren't. You can never predict how they're going to turn out.
No, Hala added. She sounded bitter.
You might say Ahmed will win the Sul Team trials, but neglect to say that he will take the throne, for instance. And if you just left it alone, then he'd have been a great sultan and ruled until he was old and gray.
The look on her face was the kind that only came from experience. I thought of all the stories I knew of men making foolish demands and wishes of Jean that were granted to them in some misshapen way that robbed them of their happiness. The Galen soldier hadn't found us in the canyon. He'd been eaten alive instead.
Bahi paused, like he was making sure I understood, before taking his hand away from my mouth. When I looked at Hala, she was staring at her feet. No wonder she hadn't forgiven me for the red-haired Demji. She'd been holding a grudge against herself for a year now. And just because she'd tried to cheat the universe into Ahmed becoming sultan by saying that he would. I reckon I would have done the same thing. Hala treated me to an image of my hands catching fire, the agony of it searing through me before it vanished. Whatever sympathy I felt vaporized.
Yes, but you didn't. I did. And if I hadn't, we might never have needed a war and people might not have needed to die.
And without another word, Hala stormed off. Bahi clapped his hands together.
You know, I think now would be a great time for that break.
Delilah and I made our way slowly back into camp through the preparations for Shehabian. Folks were stringing lanterns between the trees, and the whole of the camp was rich with the smell of roasting meats and cooking bread. Even when I dreamed of Isman, I'd never imagined a place like this. Everyone seemed to fit easily into their roles, working with one singular purpose, putting Ahmed on the throne. To make the rest of Miraji like this tiny part of the world.
How come Jin didn't compete in the Sul Team trials? I asked, breaking the uneasy silence that had fallen between us since Hala's outburst.
Tradition claims the 12 eldest princes are to compete.
Ahmed is the 5th born and Jin is 6th, so he had the right, if he'd come forward as another surviving son.
Which meant he'd chosen not to, that Ahmed had decided to step up and claim his chance at his birthright, and Jin hadn't. But then the stories didn't mention Jin at all. Not the disappearance of another son on the night that Ahmed and Delilah's mother was beaten to death, let alone his return.
Why are you asking me and not my brother?
Delilah had been chewing on her thumbnail nervously. She pulled it out of her mouth self-consciously.
Because I'm avoiding him.
Your brother has a bad habit of not telling me things straight.
They fought about it,
she admitted finally.
Shahzad said it would be a tactical advantage to have an ally in the trials to watch Ahmed's back.
Hala said no one would believe either one of them if we suddenly started claiming it was reigning returned princes.
Jin said no one would believe him because he didn't look a thing like the Sultan. Bahi said it would distract from Ahmed's impact. Then Shahzad said the Holy Order had given him too much of a flair for dramatics, and they went on and on. She said shyly, "But in the end, nobody's ever been able to make Jin do something he didn't want. And the truth was, he never wanted anything to do with Miraji." She reached up, plucking an orange from a tree as we passed under, and started peeling it, avoiding looking me in the eye. Ahmed fell in love with Miraji the moment he came back. Like a piece of his soul he'd almost forgotten had been returned to him, he said. When Ahmed decided to stay behind, Jin never understood why. I didn't understand until I saw it myself. It just feels like home. They fought when Ahmed decided to stay as well. Jin sailed away without him. He always figured that Ahmed would change his mind and go back out to sea. Then our mother, Lien, Jin's mother really, but mine too. She looked uncomfortable, like she spent a long time fighting with that fact. She died, and Jin and I came to Ahmed instead. It was only a few months before the Sultan trials. Jin had been waiting for Ahmed to change his mind, and in the meantime he'd built up this following in his Mon. I thought Jin might break his nose when we finally tracked him down with the compass. Shahzad broke Jin's nose first. Jin had told me a girl broke his nose and his brother said it. I had just figured on some lover's quarrel in a foreign port, not Shahzad. Nice to know it wasn't all lies, though. He figured the best we could hope for was for Ahmed not to get killed in the Sultan trials, and then we'd leave and Ahmed would stop fighting. She gestured around herself at the camp. He was wrong. So why does Jin stay? Jin has fought for Ahmed since they were boys. He'd throw a punch whenever anyone would call Ahmed a... She stumbled over the translation of the Sichuan word. It means dirty foreigner, I suppose. He'll do the same now. I still don't think he's forgiven Ahmed for falling in love with something outside of our family, though. Well, it might be he's starting to now. That small, shy smile was back on her face. I felt the back of my neck get hot. It's not... I stumbled over the words. Jin and I aren't... If it were true... Delilah sing-songed in a little girl's voice. You'd be able to say it. She laughed as she spun away from me, jumping over a small campfire, leaving me even more confused. It was late afternoon, which meant Shahzad would likely have finished training and be back in our tent. Or rather, her tent. I'd slept there the first night, too drained from the revelation of being a Demji to put up much of a fight. And then I just stayed. She still hadn't kicked me out, and there was a small pile of her clothes that she'd loaned me, piling up in a heap on the floor on my side, dividing me from her militarily clean side. It was almost like home. Stepping into the tent, I was greeted by a flying cloth bundle to the face. Catch, Shahzad said too late. I picked it up off the floor. A bright swath of gold cloth with deep red stitching unfurled between my fingers. What is it? I asked. A rare occurrence for which it's traditional to wear your finest clothes. I realized Shahzad was already dressed for Shihabian. It couldn't be natural to be as pulled together as she was. Her dark hair was piled in tight waves against her head, golden pins catching the dimming light. A kalat, so green it made the trees look dull, draped across her. I didn't think to grab my finest clothes while running for my life. I ran my hands across the fabric, and imagined putting it on and turning into some phoenix creature from the stories, fire and gold.
Well, in this case, your friend's finest clothes,
Shahzad said. Friend. The simple word grabbed my attention. I'd been shedding friends since Tamid.
Shahzad must have caught my hesitation.
I have other kalats, if you don't like it, she added quickly, pushing a loose piece of hair back behind her ear like she was nervous, only that was impossible.
Is Amin back yet?
I asked. No matter what Delilah said, I was nervous about the yellow-eyed Demji in the Galen camp.
No.
Shahzad became serious.
Not yet. I'm giving her until the end of Shehabian, and then tomorrow we're going to look for her.
To make sure she hadn't wound up like the red-haired Demji.
Who's we?
I asked, starting to undress.
Me and Jin. And you, if you want.
My hands faltered on my buttons, Delilah's words fresh in my mind.
I don't think I'm meant to leave camp before I figure out my powers.
I didn't sound that convincing even to myself, and Shahzad made a disbelieving noise at the back of her throat.
However short our lives might turn out to be if this revolution fails, you can't avoid him forever, you know.
Want to watch me try anyway?
The holy time of Shehabian started when the sun vanished, a reminder of the night when the Destroyer of Worlds came and brought darkness with her. Last year, Tamid had spun me in place until I was dizzy, and we both laughed until we had to hold each other up, tipsy-turvy from drink and dancing. We celebrated until midnight, when the whole world would turn black in memory of the first night. And then, when the stars and the moon came back, we prayed until dawn. But Dustwalk celebrations had nothing on those at the rebel camp. Lanterns were strung between the trees so thick I could barely see the branches for the light. Figs plucked straight from the trees, cake so sweet my fingers stuck together. The air smelled of oils and incense and smoke and food and the desert and being alive in the desert. I was fiercely conscious of the way the silk and muslin of my borrowed kalat felt on my skin. The golden cloth draped and clung like nothing I'd ever owned. I'd cinched it at the waist. Shahzad's figure was better filled out than mine, but I wasn't going to be mistaken for a boy in this, especially not when she opened the top three clasps at my throat. I put up a bit of a fight, but Shahzad was a better-born fighter than I was, and in the end I had to let her loose on me. I figured she'd try and fail to turn me into something as bright and polished as she was. Instead, when she held up the mirror, a wild thing stared back. My hair was twisted and half-bound, coming apart in waves that kissed the edge of my jaw and my neck, like I'd been caught in a sandstorm. She'd painted my lips red enough that I imagined I could taste blood. My eyes were so dark around the blue that I feared for anyone caught in their crosshairs. I looked like something that belonged in a revolution. The pair of us drifted from one fire to another, people catching us to talk, sweeping me up in camp chatter as easily as Shahzad. I ate honey cakes and washed them down with sweet wine. I spotted Jin across the campfire, playing some game or other with his sister and laughing as he lost. There was a pair of cats by a fire, one blue, the other gray with a blue tuft on its head. I knelt down to scratch the blue one absently, and instead of a cat, I found my hand on the stomach of a very naked, very blue boy. Happy Shehabian, General. The boy saluted Shahzad, who barely bothered to look down as she stepped over him. I tried to keep my eyes on his face and off any other part of him. Is,
Shahzad replied, nodding to the blue-skinned boy.
Meet Amani, Amani, meet the twins. Or one of them. They just got back from doing a supply run for us this morning.
I flushed and looked away, catching Shahzad looking too damn amused.
The other cat turned into a boy, too.
He was identical to Iz, but his skin was dark. Only his hair was the same pale blue as his brother's skin.
And this is Maz,
Shahzad gestured.
Maz grinned.
The one and only.
I glanced from him to his twin.
Who taught you to count?
The twins beamed at me.
So you're the new Demji,
Iz said, standing to inspect me with no mind to how bare he was.
We wanted to meet you.
We were wondering if you might be our sister, Maz said, on account of your eyes.
He gestured to his hair, an unnatural blue a few shades off from my eyes. If we'd both inherited it from our gene fathers, it might be that we shared one. The realization that I might suddenly have a brother after 17 years unsettled me.
I've always wanted a sister,
Iz said brightly.
Have you met Emin? She and Hala had the same genie father, you know. Their mothers lived on the same street in Isman.
So I was responsible for Hala's golden-eyed sister risking her life in the Galen camp. It seemed I couldn't stop doing things to make her hate me.
Amani's not our sister, though.
Maz looked faintly disappointed as he said it.
Or else we wouldn't be able to say that she's not our sister.
Still, Iz said, perking up, you might be able to change your shape like us. That would be just as good.
Do you want a drink?
Shahzad blessedly pulled me away from the naked twins.
The dancing started soon after. I'd never danced properly at Shehabian before, not with Tamid's injured leg. I couldn't stand to leave him out. But my body loosened soon enough and was weaving through the sparks from the fire from one partner to the next. As drink flowed more freely and people got sloppier, we spun more wildly. I careened round Shahzad, dancing with Bahi, and a pair of hands belonging to my next partner grabbed me, spinning me around to face him. I was chest to chest with Jin. We both stopped, letting the dancing go on around us. I could feel the warmth of his hands through the delicate fabric of the kalat. After weeks of my being a boy around him, everything that made me a girl was in his hands. His eyes traveled over me slowly, resting for just a second on the red shima tied around my waist. It was the one he'd given to me, all the way back in Sazi.
You look like you were born out of fire.
Jin, I started. I never finished. Midnight dropped like a cloak over the sky like it always did on Shehabian. One moment there were fires and lanterns and stars and moonlight, and then there was just blackness. No matter that the Buraki were fewer and the Jin didn't live alongside men anymore, no matter how many factories rose up filled with iron and smoke, this was magic that didn't fade. It lived in the memory of the world itself. The first true dark, when matches wouldn't strike, tinder wouldn't catch, and stars hid. Jin's hands slipped away from me, and I felt even his presence fade. I couldn't follow him, not in this kind of dark. All of us stood completely still where we'd stopped, waiting for the light to come back. A fire flared to my right. The stars were blinking back to life one by one. Still, no one spoke. The hours up to midnight were for festivities. Now was a time for prayers and memories. My eyes darted around for Jin as the crowd shifted me toward the single fire like moths. The storyteller was a young woman. She stood on a raised stone by the fire, Demji gathered all around her, facing the rest of the camp. The world was created in light. The storyteller began, the traditional opening.
Every story might be different, but it always began with the same words. And then came the night. The destroyer of worlds came from the dark that existed only in the places the sun couldn't touch. I spotted the back of Jin's head as he escaped the crowd. I followed, weaving my way through the people, dropping into prayer, walking until the noise and light and illusions and laughter were far away, and the edge of the desert opened.
Blue-eyed bandit.
I jumped at Jin's voice. I could just make him out now in the returning starlight. He took a swig from the bottle dangling from his fingers, and for a wild second I thought he might be drinking up the courage to really face me this time.
Want a drink?
He held out the bottle.
There was this girl once I knew from the last county who could hold her drink even when I wound up head down on the table.
He meant at the drunk genie by the gutted-out mines of Sazi, when I was just the girl with the gun who could hold her drink, and he was just a foreigner who couldn't hold the drugs I slipped in his. Instead of a demji and a prince, when I was still so certain of everything and he started lying to me.
Then again,
Jin said, taking another swig,
that girl didn't walk away from stories halfway through either.
In that moment, I did turn to fire. My hand sent the bottle flying to the ground, the sand guzzling the spilled liquor as it rolled. I realized I'd been expecting him to stop me, catch my arm before I could hit him. Stories and lies. I found my voice and swallowed whatever else was snaking up my throat, lest it come through as tears. I'm not so fond of them as I used to be. But you know by now, all your lies to get me here were wasted. Haven't you heard what they're saying? That I'm the only demji in the world without powers? He struggled through his drunken haze to focus on me. Did you ever think about telling me what I was? All at once, Jin filled my senses, the smell of liquor and heat, and the sight of the distant plains of his face, of the tattoos just visible through his shirt.
You want to talk about this? Now?
Why not? I spread my arms wide, daring him. Why don't you tell me what the plan was? If things had been different in Dasama, were you going to truss me up like a prisoner and drag me here? Or did you have different lies already?
I didn't make you come here.
Jin's eyes bored into mine, but I wasn't backing down. He said I had traitor eyes. Let him see the betrayal there. Let him drown in it.
I didn't trick you, and I didn't ask you to.
What else was I meant to do? Leave you to die?
You might have.
I wouldn't have.
The truth is, I had no idea what I was doing when it came to you, Amani. I tried to leave you in Dustwalk because I didn't want to drag you into my brother's war. I came back for you because I didn't want to see you die at the hands of my other brother. But either way, I was bound to wind up doing one or the other. Just depended on which one.
His hand came up like he was going to reach for me, but dropped to his side instead.
I was glad in Sazi when I saw you'd gone, because it meant you'd escaped on your own path. And I was glad when you took the compass, because it gave me a reason to go after you. And yes, I lied to keep you out of Isman because I was afraid someone would know what you were and you'd get snapped up and sold to the Sultan. And I steered you toward Dasama, figuring there was a chance I might be able to deliver you to the sea and get you out of this country before it killed you.
His face was so close now. I remembered what he said once, crossing the desert, that the sea was the color of my eyes. You don't have any right to decide that for me. I shoved him away from me, trying to tear him out of my space, out of my head.
But he does?
Jin shouted, the moment breaking.
My brother says you're a Demji and you think that will make your life matter more than being the blue-eyed bandit?
I rounded on him, my hair catching in the air as it came loose from its braid.
You can't judge me for wanting to be more than just another worthless grain in this desert. Not when you were born so much more than this. Not when you were born powerful and important.
Really?
Two of Jin's quick steps carried him across the sand so fast, it was almost violent.
I was born the same year as 10 brothers and 12 sisters. Being born doesn't make a single soul important. But you were important when I met you. That girl who dressed as a boy, who taught herself to shoot true, who dreamed and saved and wanted so badly. That girl was someone who had made herself matter. She was someone I liked. What the hell has happened since you came here that she is so worthless to you? What's happened that only my brother's approval and some power you never needed before can make you important? That's why I didn't want to bring you into this revolution, Amani. Because I didn't want to watch the blue-eyed bandit get unmade by a prince without a kingdom.
I wanted so badly to tell him he was wrong, but my tongue turned to iron just at the thought. But that didn't mean he was in the right, either.
And what are you doing fighting for this country if it's not for him? This country you don't understand, and you resent for taking your family.
You're right.
He cut me off.
I never understood this country. I never understood why he chose to leave everything else behind and stay for this. Not until I met you.
I felt like he'd pushed me, like I was falling, and I needed him to reel those words back in to keep me standing straight.
You are this country, Amani.
He spoke more quietly now.
More alive than anything ought to be in this place. All fire and gunpowder, with one finger always on the trigger.
We stood close, anger pulsing between us. My heart was beating fast, or maybe that was his. We were breathing each other. Just him and me. There was more fire in me than I'd felt since I was told I was a Demji. I opened and closed my hands, wanting to reach for him.
Jin.
Bahi's voice broke the moment. His face was graver than I'd ever seen it. Ahmed is looking for you. There's news of Naguib's weapon.
The weapon is on the move.
Emin was gulping down water. He'd practically run from Fahali.
You've seen it?
Shahzad asked. Emin shook his head. He was still wearing the shape of the Galen soldier. Everyone from the inner circle stood around him, hanging on his every word. The prince, Shahzad, Jin, Bahi, Hala. And then me.
Just rumors. Some accidental fires in Isman that they're trying to blame on us. And 3 ships anchored in port that burned down. But there was a missive this morning. To Fahali. Commander Naguib is coming as a representative of his father to negotiate the terms of the alliance with General Dumas.
Well, that certainly sounds like we're bringing you a weapon to annihilate the rebellion to me.
Hala commented, putting a hand on her sister-brother's shoulder.
Have they found us?
Not yet,
Emin said.
But they were close.
So we moved the camp.
And where do we go?
Bahi interjected.
If we go north, we walk into Galen hands. If we go west, we cross the border into Amanpour. If the mountain clans don't get us first.
East, your father kills us, and south, the desert has the privilege of it.
It was different when we first fled Isman, but the rebellion has grown since there were 12 of us. We can't move a kingdom so lightly.
even a small one.
He's right,
Shahzad acknowledged. Ahmed's hand gripped the table. His knuckles were pale.
So we intercept it,
Jin said. He was tossing his compass from hand to hand. The needle swung frantically, pointing at Ahmed's.
Are they moving by train?
Emin nodded, blonde Galen curls falling into his face. Ahmed didn't speak immediately. We all hung on to his silence.
They can't know we're looking,
he said finally. It was Jin he spoke to, not his general, not the Demji, his brother.
You make it look like you're common bandits raiding the trains for the money. Jin, you take...
I'll go.
The words fell out of my mouth before I could think better of them. Everybody looked at me. My argument with Jin was still fresh. He was right. I was never going to be good for anything if I just waited for my Demji powers. I'd been still too long.
You're a risk, Ahmed said honestly.
But it wasn't a no.
I'd take that risk in a heartbeat, Jin said, looking at his brother. I don't need her as a Demji.
Shahzad spoke up for me.
Amani is the best shot I've ever seen, and she can pass for human. She's been doing it her whole life.
I can do this, I insisted. Ahmed's eyes locked with mine, and for a moment he didn't look like anybody's brother or friend. He looked like a ruler. I straightened, trying to look like a worthy soldier. He nodded.
You leave at dawn.
Chapter 22.
Do you know why they call this Dead Man's Ridge? Bahi asked cheerfully.
He'd been chattering ever since we landed, flown here on Iz's back while he was in the shape of a giant rock, the open desert rushing below us. The blue-skinned Demji was now curled up among the rocks as a large blue lizard. At least he wasn't trying to help set up camp as a naked boy.
Is it because I'm going to kill you if you don't stop talking?
Shahzad asked, chucking a piece of firewood at him.
Sadly, the map makers didn't anticipate you, Shahzad.
Bahi slung his arm over his shoulder. We were perched on a mountain. Below us, the desert spread out on all sides, except to the north where I could just make out what Jin told me was the sea. And directly below us, straight through the mountains, was the railway.
It's because so many workers died blasting the tunnels,
Bahi explained.
They say their restless ghosts wander the rails.
Another fine achievement of the Sultan's allegiance with the Galen,
Jin said, kicking a rock out of the way before laying out his bedroll. Jin called him the Sultan, I'd noticed, where Ahmed called him their father. Jin never did.
And you're telling us this now? Hala shoved Bahi. Right as we're about to blow out a tunnel?
Just trying to help everyone reflect on the situation.
Bahi's good spirits were running a little too wild for my taste, given I could barely rein in my nerves.
The section of the railway that Dead Man's Ridge overlooked ran from Isman before the tracks sliced their way through the mountains to Fahali on the other side. And from there it was only a day's journey to Ahmed's camp. We were going to make sure the weapon didn't make it that far. The train was due in 2 days' time. Tomorrow we'd rig the tunnel with explosives that would force the train to stop, giving us time to board, pretending to be bandits. Hala would climb inside the heads of the passengers so they would see a dozen bandits, not just four of us, distracting the soldiers while we removed the weapon.
Aren't Holy Father supposed to reflect in silence?
I asked, shaking out my bedroll. Bahi's mood wasn't even dented. I'm too young and good-looking to be a father anyway.
That's not what Sarah says, Shahzad muttered. I wondered if Sarah was the reason he'd failed as a holy father. He claimed he'd drunk too much before morning prayers once, and the previous night's dinner wound up on the High Father's robes, but I'd heard a dozen stories of why Bahi hadn't finished his training.
No one can prove that that baby is mine, Bahi sagged.
He has your smart mouth, Shahzad retorted.
He's an infant, Bahi said. Don't they just wail and scream?
Sounds like your son, I muttered. Jin snorted.
Ah, well. Bahi pulled a bottle of something out of his bag. Here's to my son, then.
Why do you have liquor?
Shahzad massaged her temples like she already had a hangover.
In answer, he pulled out two more bottles.
Medical reasons. It's in the scripture. Look it up. Ladies first.
He held the bottle out to her.
Bahi's face was pure victory as Shahzad's fingers closed over his. He let his fingers linger just a second before he released them. I was starting to think I was right about him leaving the holy fold for a girl, only not one named Sarah. I wondered if Shahzad really hadn't noticed, or if she was just pretending for his sake.
You know I'm not allowed to drink, Shahzad said, taking a deep swig.
You're not allowed to drink? I couldn't keep the skepticism out of my voice as she passed the bottle on to me. It was cheap stuff that burned on the way down. The general doesn't approve, Bahi interjected.
I knew he meant her father, not her.
Shahzad gave a mock salute, but her smile was too earnest to make me believe she didn't love her father.
He says a drunk soldier is a dead soldier.
Clearly one time the general was wrong, Bahi said, pulling out a second bottle. Or else he would have had a dead captain 1,000 times over in my father.
Shahzad started to retort something, but Bahi was already roping Iz, Jin, and Hala into some drinking game that seemed to involve flipping over a pair of coins and then slapping palms into rocks before taking a swig.
We might die here, I realized. They were just used to it. For the past year, they'd all been throwing themselves into danger and near death over and over, just for the shot at a better world.
I'd done that, too. I'd walked into the pistol pit with nothing but a good shot at death for the chance of finding a better place. But that had just been for me. They were walking into danger for themselves and everybody else, the whole of Miraji, so that no one else died like they had in Dasama, so that no one had to live like I had in Dustwalk.
Ladies, Bahi called, pulling me out of my own head. Won't you join us? So far, I'm winning.
I thought the point was not to drink the most, Hala retorted.
Clearly, you and I have different definitions of winning, Bahi said.
We were just giving you a head start. Shahzad bumped my shoulder with hers.
When you wake up and all your blood has turned to liquor, you will look back on that as your first mistake on the way to losing.
I laughed in spite of myself. After one bottle was empty, Bahi got up the bravery to recreate his drunken serenading under Shahzad's window. We were drunk on anticipation and good old-fashioned liquor under stars that seemed to belong to us to rearrange at will. And I realized that, scared as we were, I'd never been so happy as I was that night. The next morning, something woke me before the sun. I lay very still, trying to figure whether it was just a memory from a dream I was already forgetting. The camp was still asleep around me. The fire had been doused. Shahzad was on her side,
one hand resting across her blade like she was expecting someone to come for her any second. On the other side of the fire pit, Hala was curled up, buried in her bedroll. Iz would be on watch duty in the sky in the shape of a rock, but Bahi and Jin's bedrolls were both empty. I got up, joints popping, and started toward the sunrise, pulling myself up onto the ridge that protected the camp. That was where I found them. Bahi didn't have a prayer rug, but he was sprawled on his knees, his head down, his lips pressed to his hands. I stood very still. I could hear the words of morning prayers muttered like a whispered secret. It felt like witnessing something intimate. I stepped back, not wanting to intrude. I caught sight of Jin crouched a few feet away on a narrow ledge, his back against the mountain, his hands dangling into the open space over the rails. I padded across the dusty stones of the ridge in bare feet. "The hangover's not that bad." I heard the croak in my own voice as I went to sit next to him. "As much as I would like to blame Bahi's cheap liquor, I can hold my drink." He ran a hand over his face. "I haven't slept well since I woke up from the nightmare bite. When I close my eyes, I see the camp burning if we don't intercept the weapon. My family burning. You burning." I looked up at the last one. He let out a long exhale. "You don't have to stay. You know that, don't you? You were right at Shehabian. You are here because I got you involved in this. Because I wanted you to stay. But I don't want you to have to die. You could still go. To Isman, or wherever you want. Get out of this." He was apologizing, only I wasn't mad anymore. I stared out over the desert. It seemed endless, but the sun was rising to my left, which meant that somewhere, the way I was looking, was Dustwalk. "I reckon I'm where I'm supposed to be." "You know, I sort of missed the girl who was ready to leave everyone else to save her own skin," Jin said. "You seemed less likely to die doing something stupid and heroic." "I'm going to go ahead and take that as a compliment," I laughed, but then I stopped. The way I was staring across the rails, I saw the glint of sunlight off something. "Is that..." The sky came awake with a scream before I could finish. We both looked up to see Iz circling the camp and then spiraling down, changing from bird to boy a few feet above the ground as he dropped into a crouch. I was on my feet, turning back toward camp, panic already racing in my chest. But Jin's hands were on my waist. He turned me around, quick as a whip. His mouth came down hard and desperate over mine. His hands burned across the bare skin at the bottom of my spine. His touch sparked along the edge of my clothes. I didn't know if being kissed by him set me alight, or if it just turned the fire already in me loose. He broke away before we were both consumed, hands on my face. "Still feeling immortal, Bandit?" We ran back to the camp. Shazad was already awake and armed. Iz had a wild look in his eyes. "There's a train coming." Shazad shook her head like she was trying to clear out her mind. "There's no train scheduled before ours," she said, confirming what we were all thinking. I read it in Shazad's face the same moment I thought it. "They put it on another train." I might as well spit it out. "The weapon is on this one." There was no time to rig the tunnels, no time to stop the train so we could get on board. That's what they were counting on. No one talked as we perched on the ridge overlooking the tunnel, waiting for it to come through. At first, all I could hear was everyone breathing into the silence, then breaths mixing with the rattle of rails,
and then nothing but the mountain rumbling below our feet as the train raced through the tunnel. Waiting. Waiting.